Yay, all right. Happy holidays, ladies. So great to see all of you. So tonight, this is a lovely group. It's always a lovely group. I have a feeling this evening will be going pretty deep, given where I'm at and given who's here on the call. So I just want to preface with saying that we're going to play, we're going to explore, we'll see. This might get really, really profoundly exploratory, or not. We'll see. So this is the part two, technically, of the Inner Thrive and Navigating Family Dynamics. We did have the call last month, and it was Deborah and Micah and myself, and so it was a really intimate conversation, a really intimate exploration. And wow, we uncovered some cool stuff, and I'm going to share pieces of that that are like impersonal things that we kind of uncovered. But the reason that I didn't send that call recording out in particular is that we agreed, because we were so intimate, there was some sharing that occurred that we all felt safest about not having out there in the ether. So but I will share a few things that we did unearth, because I feel it's valuable to at least kind of offer into the conversation here. So we did start the conversation last month, but we're going to start it kind of fresh this evening and see what arises. And so it's not like if you missed last month, you're missing out on anything in terms of, where we're at. As I mentioned in the initial send, whenever that was, a couple of lifetimes ago, it feels like, when I announced the theme for this call, for last month's call, and then extending it into this month. The theme arose for me throughout my travels when I went back to Idaho, and well, I was staying with my friend Tawny in Santa Cruz, and being with her family is just so amazingly, uniquely dynamic and like really harmonious, and they're all like from different planets. And so I always feel so honored being in their home for an extended period of time, or any period of time, to like see how all of that operates. And like, they're so not the typical nuclear family at all. Tawny has three mothers, and she was one of the first. Anyway, she's very, very unique family. And so being around that, and then going home to Idaho in October to visit my mom, and just being in my hometown, my awareness was really up around, as it tends to be when you go home or when you hang out with family. I noticed I was just really self-aware, really aware of my experience around my mom in particular, but also just like being home and kind of how I'm feeling about my hometown and my old haunts and stuff. And it had me realizing, kind of in a pulse check way around the LFP community as well, that most of the ladies in the tribe at this point are on the path, like have been on the journey for a while, and that there's a connection with Inner Thrive in, I mean, I think we only have, there's only, as far as I'm aware, like one member, two members who are kind of in the still beginning stages. And I have conversations with you ladies all the time, obviously. And something that is always really fun to discover is this, like, yeah, like, this thing that used to drive me nuts about my mom or my dad or my, it's just not, I don't have the same triggers anymore. Or I like feel the trigger, but I don't react in the same way. Or I feel compassion. I can see where they're at, and where they're coming from, and their innocence and their ignorance, instead of like wanting to, feeling defensive or like they're wrong. So I get to hear these really amazing evolutions in your relationships, in the community relationships and dynamics, and these like intimate and oftentimes sometimes volatile dynamics, and how that's experienced a lot is differently when we're centered into and we're aligned with Inner Thrive, right? And we're like in this continuous emergence of the realization of, huh, like I'm actually going to surprise myself right now in how this is happening. And I'm feeling centered. I'm feeling grounded. So in Lord knows, right along my journey, and I had mentioned in that email, my relationship with my mother in particular growing up was, for a large part of my life at least, was very, 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 very difficult, to the point of attempted suicide when I was 13. And that, just like having a really severely polarized family dynamics, was something that has been kind of like my life's inner work and my inner healing along the way throughout, especially like throughout my adult years. And like, bless the universe, I can stand here and say right now, I just was texting with my mom and we love each other. And it's a miracle of God if that is the case. But the journeys that we go on, and I know I happen to know all of you very intimately, but I can say this universally as well. The journeys that we go on in our families of origin and the things that we experience and endure and suffer and learn and pick up and put on, and we grow, you know, our survival mechanisms around and our defenses, and, you know, we're so shaped by our families of origin, and it becomes our life's work as we're awakening to realize that was learned and shaped, and that we actually are in choice in our centeredness and in our inner thrive. And we don't have to be that way necessarily anymore, right? As we evolve and as we begin to wake up into this journey. So I wanted to have this conversation and explore family dynamics from Inner Thrive in a way that is acknowledging of what's possible when we're more connected and more whole and healed. But when the wholing and the connection and this connection with Inner Thrive becomes our pillar and becomes our center, the experience that we have, I can speak for all of us, the experience that we have of our families and of ourselves around our families and dynamics and relationships is so different. It's so incredibly different and beautifully different. And we are almost like not the same. It's not that we're not the same person, but sometimes I feel like I'm not the same consciousness I was even 5 months ago about my family, let alone, you know, 5 years ago. And I don't really hear this like discussed very often. Like there's obviously like a lot of talk and a lot of stuff in the self-help, in the therapeutic world of like trauma being such a keyword and trigger, you know, like such a, thank goodness, actually, like hot topic right now. And, you know, in therapeutic domains specifically, there's a lot of like healing, you know, like it's in our past and like da 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 da, which is valuable, can be. But I don't hear a lot of the other, like what's possible, not just when we're like healed kind of remedially or like, you know, cured of our, you know, traumatic wounds, but from a place of like actual inner thrive and wholing. How do we interface? How do we interact? What is our experience like around these people that we were, you know, around for most of our, you know, our early lives? And what that can not only like, just in acknowledging it, what that can bring to light for us, right? As we kind of cathartically like, you know, it used to be like this and now it's like this. Also, I believe, and I've experienced, and I think all of you have too, especially in this group, in this sisterhood, that as soon as we start sharing about something, there's like something else that comes into this conversation. And has a life of its own in kind of guiding and directing what we talk about, what it'll resonate with this person. And this person's obviously like the spontaneity, right? And the agendalessness of this to a degree. I mean, I always have some kind of a thing, but, and so the invitation this evening will be to explore this new-ish terrain that we're all at least kind of in or on the other side of the consciousness, I don't know, threshold of, at least, you know, in one way, in one sense, and to see what we might discover. I have some prompts. I have a couple of things I might read to you from Gabor Mate, who's like trauma. Thank goodness for him. He is healing our world. Yeah, Deborah. from Gabor. And so I have a few things that I might read. And then there is a theme that we'll see where we go with this. But I feel like there's an opportunity here. And I'm not secret about this with any of you. So I feel like there's an opportunity happening through us in our evolution, in our holding, and in our inner thriving, where we're the next stage of evolution of I don't want to say humanity, but like human beings. And this is a part of that evolution. This, like, oh, wow, like, I am interfacing with the world and my family and other people, not from a, like, oh, I've dealt with my shadows, whatever, you know, like, but from this, like, wow, my spirit and my soul and myself, I feel so amazingly aligned with inner thrive. Well, you know, like, wow. And so I feel I'm really acknowledging that we're healing the world through well, whole people. So by us holding ourselves, we literally are, by nature of our energy shifting and the fabric of like our, you know, the way that we're being, it is having an impact on the world around us and the people around us. And I think that's like so fun and so profound. And I don't want to leave that stone unacknowledged, or that like aspect of our experience unacknowledged, and like specifically in the what's possible of healing. Like, if I can heal, if I can heal myself and heal my relationship with my mama, like anything is possible in this universe. So we'll probably touch on that a bit too, in terms of like, without any pressure, we are the evolution of humanity right now. So, you know, what's there for us. So yeah, we'll do an intro round. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, I might do a personal share. I'm gonna really like read the room and then feel into this. If I don't do it here, I'll probably record it. Probably share it in a different way. We had a breath work, our final virtual breath work class last night with Elia, and oh, it was just such an open heart space. It was amazing. And after that session, I was like 11 and I'm downstairs journaling. Ron Hell's up at the property. I'm just like working on something, and I'm listening to Christmas music, because I listen to Christmas music for like 24 hours a day for the month of December. And this Christmas song came on that brought me right back to this time and I was up until 3 a.m. processing some major, major, major deep stuff that was like coming in and coming up and beautiful, but like, whoa, like really processing some family stuff. This morning I woke up, I was like, well, how appropriate that we have this call tonight. Like, yep. So anyways, I might share some of that, or I might just kind of point to that as being like, that's also what's possible when we're holding, is we're able to have these like profound heart opening, like realizations that like we weren't ready for, you know, before. And to allow for that to come through and be a part of it too. So, All right, enough of me. Let's do intro round. I love that you all already know each other, but we'll do intro round anyhow. So we will do name. We won't do location. We'll do name. How are you feeling? How are you feeling in your body tonight? And any curiosities or anything that you just want to speak into the room around the theme of Inner Thrive and family dynamics? It can be literally anything at all. And we're a small group tonight, so we can take some liberty to hold and be held, perhaps more descriptively or kind of deeply than we would if we had a larger group. So if that's something that feels good for you, feel free to do so at any point on the call. Okay, so I'm going to popcorn. I'm going to start with Ashley.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Ashley. You guys know me. Feeling in my body, just really good. Light, calm, kind of amazing. It's been a really good day, week. So just feeling very content. And then in my, well, Inner Thrive and family dynamics, my family is something, especially as I graduated from college and left, and my family's from Texas, and then I moved to New York, and now I live in LA, and so I haven't lived in Texas in a really long time, almost 20 years probably. But all my family's still in Texas. So as you may imagine, can't imagine, I have a different views than a lot of my family. I mean, they're great people, but as I've grown up and all of that, I have a lot of different views, and especially in the last 5 years or so, maybe even probably 5 to 10, but like wasn't as apparent until a few years ago. Anytime I went home, I usually go home like twice a year to visit them, and they'll come out, some of them will come out here. But it was always really hard going home. And especially the last, like I said, like 5 or so years. And just didn't drive with me. I didn't like it. And the first thing that was like really hard was I noticed that I was like, I just can't talk. Like, I don't have a connection with these people. And I'm like, these are my mom and my dad and my like brothers and sisters. And well, there's one brother who I still have a connection with, but that's because he's also the outlier. But it was just really hard to have conversations. It started to be really hard to have any type of conversations, and not that they were would even get volatile. That wasn't until after we had a president elected. but they were in a very like surface level way. I didn't have any like it just felt really hard to connect with them and to have anything in common to talk to them. And then as I got deeper into this journey with Fawn and personal development and all of that, it became harder, and especially with the dynamics of our country, it became really hard. And that's when conversations did get like not so fun, and some shit happened, like whatever, it was just not cool stuff happened and more was said and done, and all of the things, and it just wasn't really cool. But then as I dove deeper and deeper into Inner Thrive and myself and all of this work that I've been doing, it's gotten easier. It like really has. That they haven't changed. They're like whatever, and I'm not probably not gonna change them. That's okay. But I have a greater, you know, what Fawn was talking about earlier, I have a greater awareness and acceptance of them now, because yeah, I totally know and can see of like why they are the way they are, think the way they think and all of the things. no real excuses for it, but I have a greater understanding and compassion for it. And also I want to fucking enjoy my life, and I don't want to have to when I go home, be not in a great mood or whatever it is. Right. And so through a lot of this work, and so that's my relationship with Inner Thrive and family dynamics now, is that especially in the last, probably the last year, it's gotten a heck of a lot easier, and it's a lot of it's through acceptance and through also my own, obviously my own growth, but just not, kind of letting it roll off my back in one way, and not also putting the pressure on, because I think I used to also put pressure on, being I need to try to change these people or get them to see what I'm seeing and all of the things. And now it's just kind of, it's more of no, I'm just gonna I can still love them. The relationship, it will look different. I don't choose to put myself around them all of the time, but I also can accept and see why they are the way they are, why they think the way they think. And it makes it things and visits home, especially because I'll be going to Texas in a few weeks, makes it a lot easier. And the word I'm looking for is, I have a lot, it's not acceptance with myself, but it's more, I don't know, it's not even more grace with, not too sure what I'm, how to articulate it, but I just feel more in my body there, even though I may feel in the past disconnected. And so there's just an overall more acceptance for everybody, all parties involved. And it just makes everything a heck of a lot easier. And I, again, like I said, I can still love and accept them and be with them and be around them. Just with all of this greater awareness. And that's how I look at Inner Thrive, is being able to do that in a way that feels good for me, that's aligned with me. I'm still myself and showing up as myself, but I'm also holding some boundaries of well, maybe I don't want to tiptoe and I don't want to talk about this or have this conversation or react to whatever. So yeah, that's Michelle. Well, I think that was it.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. Would you be willing, I'll circle back to this, actually. I'll probably invite you to share your recent trip to Yellowstone. Thank you, Ash. I really appreciate your bringing us along into your journey and the context of, this is where, how it used to be. This is where I was when I was younger. For me, it really helps me tune in with understanding where you're at in a more holistic way, or in a holistic way. And hearing the kind of tracking along with every this amazing body that you have found, your physical body. your quote today almost made me cry. I teared up. I love being in my body. I was yes.
I do. I really do. It's so fun. It's so nice to be there. Really there.
Yeah. And I hear there's a part of what you just shared where that's a part of it is I can be centered around them and
totally.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right. Who would like to intro next?
I'll speak.
Awesome. Thanks.
Popcorning. That's so cute. thank you, Ashley, for sharing that. I'm Amy, and I'm feeling very good in my body, and I keep getting into it more and more and more and loving it, which has been a long journey for me, being, a victim of sexual abuse and things. So, and I'm just absolutely loving it and absolutely loving my somatic practices that help me stay and be in my body is Kundalini yoga and the class that Taryn Toomey does out of New York. That's also very, you know, being embodied, but that I find that my body has so much information for me now that I'm speaking its language and that we're communicating, that it's like a tuning fork to the inner thrive, to the outer thrive, where I feel it's just an amazing, it's like a tuning fork now. It's kind of astounding to me. And I can only believe that it's just going to get more refined because it's still very new, you know, the last few years. So in my family dynamic, my immediate family, which is my husband of 30 years and my two daughters, 26 and 27. And that marriage broke up a year ago. That marriage, that's how much distance I have from it. That old chestnut. It is pretty funny. But it was rough because we had been in love for like since we're 15. And so it was so much psyche grown together. And there were 12 years we were apart and, you know, I lived in LA and we had other lovers and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the last 30 years, it's just been a long trying to unravel and untie those ties that bind. But I did, but I've been doing that work and I've been doing it just in my own way, like in my own process, like energy healings and letting go and bringing in angels and all the stuff that I try and seems to work. And so I'm feeling definitely much more free of him. I mean, so much so that another man has come into my life, which has just been amazing. Just amazing. And I was feeling so good before he arrived. I know that has everything to do. It's not like I was sad and lonely and then this man came. It's like, so not that. I know that like I just drew him in from my inner thrive. Like that's just what happened. I know it. I conjured him actually. But yeah, so there's that. And then I had, as I say this, an extraordinary experience that can certainly be a lived example of what I'm talking about. So it was maybe a week ago. I was in our local restaurant here in Rhinebeck with some friends of mine I hadn't seen in a few years, these women that I ran a theater company with. And when we were actors and directors, and we had this 10-year great run as a theater company. And I hadn't seen them in a long time. And so it was great to catch up, like, how are the kids and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, I got news. You know, I'm getting a divorce. Oh, shock. You and Brian, you were so great. And I'm like, yeah, not really. Yeah, he was an alcoholic. And I put on a lot of masks and faces and things to like cover that. And okay. And then here's my new 40-year-old boyfriend who's Italian and gorgeous and like a. I'm 61, so, but he doesn't mind. We've fallen in love, I'm just saying. I mean, that's like love is going on, love. So I'm going to Rome on Saturday. But aside from that, which is also inner thrive, oh my God, he really does look like some sort of God that came down to earth. Really, he does. He makes a living doing that. He's an artist model. So he goes all over the world and he's their muse and his beautiful body and God, he's just the sweetest soul. And you know how the universe works. He's like, does Kundalini yoga and like, we just said all this stuff. Like, are you kidding me, man? So that aside, here's the thing I want to say is that I was in the restaurant having dinner with my old friends and yucking it up and telling our tales. And at the end of the evening, we were there quite a long time. The end of the evening, I am putting on my coat at the coat rack and this man comes up to me and he's looking at me and I'm like, oh shit, I know I'm supposed to know him. He knows me. I'm supposed to know him. You know how you're going, okay, how do I know him? It's like seconds are ticking by. Oh God, he looks familiar though. I know that I know him. And then this veil got lifted and it was my husband who I haven't seen in 6 months. And I'm like, what? I mean, I was like, I was so shocked that I sat there and stared at this man I've known for 45 years and I didn't fucking see him. And I gave him a big spontaneous.
Okay, I gotta come off mute. I'm so sorry.
Hey, what is that?
How could you not recognize your ex-husband? Oh my God.
It was freaky. It was one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me. It was freaky. I'm staring at him going, he looks familiar. Wow, maybe Molly will know who that is. Maybe he's from the theater company because he's looking at Molly and, oh my God. And I gave him a spontaneous big hug, even though he's being an absolute prick about our divorce. He's just being horrible. But that's not who I am, baby. My inner thrive is thriving. And I go, oh, the father of my children, it's Brian. I kiss, you know, hug him. And I said, were you in the restaurant? And he's like, yeah, I was sitting at the bar. He's with his employee. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there facing that bar, 30 feet away, like, and then I'm like, oh yeah, there was these guys down at the end. I was staring for 2 hours while I'm yucking it up with my friends. That was so weird. Okay. Really, 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 really weird. But I also have been processing that and thinking, okay, here's some things of our inner thrive things. First of all, I think what happened is that he's so out of my field because I've so changed since a year of our breakup. That I'm so different and my energy feels so different that it's not even, and the work I've been doing about like separating and, you know, cutting cords and all this, you know, and I do, of course, I think about him all the time because he's in my face about this divorce. And I'm also processing a 44-year relationship ending. So it's not that I don't think of him because I do, but, that was strange. And what I think happened was that I had withdrawn all my projection of him. And because there was a lot of that going on for me to stay in that relationship. So, I think I just saw him for who that person is at this time. And that was unrecognizable to me. Not someone I would vibe with, like literally. Not see, other than, oh, there's a person. Oh my God. That was weird. So I know that that is like sort of proof, like actual solid proof of, because you couldn't make that one up. Weird. Yeah. So that was pretty much the conversation. We walked out and he was sort of standing there. My car's right there. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk to you. But I was like, okay, I gave him another hug because I didn't know what else to do. And he, you know, held me really tight. And I said, are you well? And he's like, yeah, are you well? I'm like, yeah. Bye. You know, just drove away. But I didn't want, and there's nothing really to say, but I was kind and my heart leapt out and was open and, you know, put my love out there and there it was. And kind of like gratitude. Thanks for all that we've had. And yeah, huge lesson about projection. That goes also back around to our inner thrive, that we can project an entire reality that I was living in of the happy marriage and everything's great. And I'm the envy of everyone in my beautiful love story with my childhood sweetheart and everyone to hear the love story. And I put on this beautiful facade for everyone, including myself that I lived in. And then when it all came, I couldn't do it anymore. I cracked it open. Like I smashed it open. Cause I mean, even it wasn't even intentional. It was that higher wisdom that went like, okay, girl, we've had enough of this. Bam. And then it's not like I didn't know he was an alcoholic. I'm 36 years sober. So I knew he was an alcoholic, but I could just sort of gloss that over or sort of do some magic. Yes, but, you know, it's still great. And oh, my God. And this was, that was another huge lesson about I just literally manifested that life that wasn't even real. So I want to manifest a life that is real. That's mine. I mean, you know, I could, that projection was so big that it, everyone's blown away. You're not Brian, not you and Brian. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So this, can I segue into one other little thing, is about sisters and the family of origin. Through this trouble in my marriage and the trouble a year ago and all the sexual abuse and stuff came out of denial about, and my brother. And so my family, especially my sisters, not my mom, miraculously, who stood my be, but I'm sort of, they've sort of ostracized me and sort of, and not that they didn't know, my sisters, who I was very close to, said for years, I don't know how you stay here in this alcoholic marriage. But there's something, and I can't even, I don't even want to know or think about what it is, that why I'm like, I'm scary to them now or something, or I was too needy for them in that time when all that was coming up. I don't know. Or I broke the family secret or something. But it's like, I am like, and you know, Brian was our brother. Brian's our brother since we're 14. And like, okay. And not that I'm trashing him or anything, but just like the support that I would expect from sisters, like these sisters especially. But it's just like, and it's hurtful, I got to say. But I also am trying to just be, it's not affecting my inner thrive, and my inner thrive is going. But it is a sadness and a thinking, okay, my mother's very old. My dad died 2 years ago. I want to go see my mom. She's been great. I don't want to negotiate all that shitty shit. So I have to get like just in the right space. I also don't want to like sneak in and I know that I can be, I went there to bury my dad. We buried his ashes, you know, last year. And, you know, they didn't ask me to stay at their houses. They didn't, I was just like, and I've always stayed there, you know, but it was just like, oh, well, you know, like, wow. Literally, I have no idea what that's about. They're somehow threatened. I don't know. Something. I don't know. But do I need to know? This is what I want to talk to you fine women about. Can I just go on with my life? Because I'm not going to change, or I don't want to change, or I don't want to put the energy into changing what their perception is. I don't want to put that energy out there. Like, I love them. My love's always there. I've been the one, you know, trying, reaching out, hey, you know, and it's polite and how are the kids? And, you know, but there's just, so I'm like, maybe I don't have to do that either anymore because it's sad in a way, but it's also maybe that was a giant projection that I had these amazing sisters who got my back. Because the minute any shit hit the fan on my end, it was like, whoa, we don't. Yeah, well, Anyway, you know what I'm saying. So I think that's enough. I don't know how long I've talked. But
thank you, Amy. Yeah,
thank you.
Ooh, yeah, wow.
Totally.
Ooh.
Totally, wow. God, I wish it could fit in my head to experience that. Oh, very strange. All right.
Holding disrupts, overrides, supersedes previous levels of consciousness.
It has to be.
Yeah. And you have been doing so. Well, I mean, you spoke to this, I'll just mention it. And you've been doing every day intentional work around healing, cutting those cords, bringing your light back into yourself. Like, you've been doing practice, powerful energetic practices, and it's bizarre, but it's not shocking or surprising given how intentional you've been about holding yourself in context mm-hmm. of yourself, and also just by, you know, that mm-hmm. dynamic. So yeah, so interesting. It reminds me of were we talking? I don't know when I was talking about this, but how like when there's a true, like a deep shift in consciousness, we don't have, just as like things don't occur to us anymore that would occur to us before, like addiction, for example, or habits, tendencies, likes, dislikes, etc. Right? It's just like, oh, I don't, you know. The shift is on an energetic level that affects our physiology and our, you know, affects a lot. So the not being, not, it not registering on the radar, like may ostensibly sound like whatever, but it makes, I mean, makes sense. So, yeah. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I,
thanks for your reaction.
I really appreciate, because feeling personal to me right now as well, this question around like pertaining to your sisters and your like why, but like, do I need to know, or can I let that go also? And like knowing I don't want to put energy into whatever it is that's going on over there, you know. So that question of, do I need to know, or is that something that, yeah, I can, yeah.
I don't spend a lot of time on it. When it comes up, I just kind of go read through it and like, okay, that's sad. Mm-hmm. But oh well. I mean, I have other things to think about.
Mm-hmm. Like sexy 40-year-old models.
Yeah. Him. He's insane. Yeah.
He's like GQ covered. Like, it's
no, he's ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. I have to show him a picture. Okay, now he is a you know, a model, nude model. Okay. Just saying. Can you see that?
Up. Hold it up. A little bit more. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
I was trying to count the abs and I stopped at like 27.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is too, yeah, I mean, that totally surprised me when he took off the big sweater. I mean, he had me at hello, you know. He was just so lovely and beautiful and sweet and kind and open and spiritual and like present and hard. And then when the big sweater came off and the big pants came off, I'm like, oh God, okay, this is next level of whatever. But this is a nice little cherry on top, shall we say? Shall we just say that? But I was already gone. I had already gone before we got to there. Whoa. I had to share with the lady. God.
Hell yes. Hallelujah. Hell yes.
Oh my God. It's not just that. It's the poetry he sends me. It's just the spiritual. They're like, you've changed my life, Amy. You've changed my life. We'll never be the same. It's like, oh my God. Inner Thrive is spreading out.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's contagious. I love it. It's like so fun to see. So fun to see the manifestations that arise in our paths, the manifestations that we, that secretly and unsecretly wanted to bring into being and or experience, and it's happening. And I thank you for sharing that with us. Like, that's something so exciting to acknowledge and celebrate.
Oh, I'm just riding that wave. See where it goes.
Literally. Okay, moving on. Jazz. Jazz, I'll just ping you and then I'll ping Deborah and then we'll get into some stuff.
That was so good. Thank you, Amy. Oh man. Something you said like stopped me in my tracks, around like I had withdrawn all of my projections, and I know what it what it feels like to be really centered and connected to another person and aligned when I'm in any given situation with the energy of other people. And then I experience this really interesting, like, flip when I'm around my mom. And it's gotten worse. Seems like it's gotten worse since I met my dad. Which has been interesting because, so I didn't know my dad. I grew up with my mom and my grandparents raised me on my mom's side. My dad, you know, knew about me, just never chose me. We lived like literally a mile and a half down the street. And I reached out a couple times throughout my youth. He rejected that. And then I was graduated from college and I, my mom really struggled, you know, alcoholism also and single and the whole thing growing up. And, I got a full ride to soccer and then I ended up transferring and then I had some loans and I was hell bent on not having any student loan debt. So she's really non-confrontational and she never went back to fight for more child support or anything like that. So I got a lawyer. And I sued him when I was 21. And when I walked into the waiting area, we unmistakably are related. I mean, we are cut from the same cloth. And he didn't recognize me because how would he? But I got enough to cover my loans. And I was a pitbull because I'm the opposite of my mother and everything was fucking color coded and file foldered. And he said no twice. And I said, bring me back in front of the judge. I'm not doing this. And then he acquiesced. He had no case. They made a ton of money, him and my stepmom. And then he asked me to go for lunch. And we have a beautiful relationship now. And I had no trouble succumbing to like love and forgiveness and like the true desire of my heart for like my whole life. Cause I knew about them. My mom was so transparent with me and my brother and sister didn't know about me. So we met when they were 15 and 17 and it's like we've grown up together and I have this beautiful second family. So, so incredible. And I love him, you know, like he did the best he could. It wasn't the best in my opinion, but he did the best he could with what he had and what he believed and what his reality was at the time. He's the one who missed out and we both know that. And I'm so curious around like why I love him so much. And why I compare that side by side to how much still of a thorn my mother feels to me. And how it makes me feel like a fraud for like really feeling like I'm thriving. And like that I just live in love for like everything and gratitude. And I'm like so open to like the connection with this world and everything I come into contact. And then there's my mom who like just annoys the piss out of me still, you know, and she's such a wonderful woman. Like she loves me to her core. And of course I love her, but I have a very strange family dynamic with her still. She just still really bothers me. I have a lot of shoulds around what I think she should be doing. I'm still choosing to caretake her. And she's choosing to accept that. And so there's something there at play. And that was like my childhood, you know, pay for the water bill, you know, when all of a sudden there's no hot water, things like that, right? And then that transitioned into like, I cut her off for like 2 years because it got so bad. And then Joel proposed to me and I was like, well, she's not coming. And Joel's like, yeah, she is. And that's literally the only reason why I started talking to her again. Cause we got engaged and like, she's my mom and I'm her only child. And, you know, thank God for Joel. But there's been caretaking still, you know, she didn't quite hit rock bottom. And then she hit rock bottom and, you know, got a DUI and was being foreclosed on her house. And I ended up calling her and she was just blasted one night and she opened up about everything. And she was willing to receive help. And that was 5 years ago. And I got a modification lawyer and a bankruptcy lawyer and she chose to do the work. And just in October, she finished her trustee payments. She paid off the $60,000 over the 5 years that she had in back payments of taxes and whatever. She's been working 3-4 nights a week doubles. Like she has a job, she works as a social worker and she's picked up extra bartending shifts, you know, and she's made it, you know, an extra $1,000 a month to cover that payment for 5 years. And that blows me away. And I could cry with the pride like I have and how just in awe of her I am, you know? But then I actually spend time with her and she just fucking annoys me. And it's like, why can't I love her the way I feel like I love her? Like through my action. Like, why do I just like love her in my mind? Like, I don't seem to have that with anybody else. Like, I don't seem to have that, like, what's it called when something doesn't align? Like,
dissonance? Discrepancy?
Thank you. Yeah, the dissonance. Like, why do I have that dissonance? And that's really what's coming up for me when I heard the withdrawal of all my projections, because, like, my life is so beautiful. Like, I could go on and on about my husband and my kids, and, like, we are just such an incredible family unit. And through like all this work, like even my interactions at work, like have changed and just everything has changed. And then there's mom and I'm like, put the fucking shock collar on the dog because you're so lazy that you're not training it. So like, if it like comes to my house, it's wearing a shock collar, you know, like, I don't know. It's ruining things. Or like, you know, like throw out the empty Diet Coke can. And also, why are you drinking Diet Coke? You know, like I could keep going. You know what I mean? It's like the little, and Joel drinks Diet Coke, you know? And it's like, this is a silly example, but like, you know, so when you said that, that's what landed for me. Like I have projections. I clearly have projections. I'm seeing an entire childhood or some version of it that I've still got up about her. But then at the same time, I know her and see her like the other, like with the other side of the coin. And why can't I embody that and feel that when I'm with her? Like, why can't I settle into love? She wants to connect with me. Like I give her like a little bit to appease her, but even when I'm like giving her information to all the questions she's asking, I'm like doing it just because it would actually be mean if I didn't. But you put me on a beach with my dad and I'm actually like wanting and desiring to like get into all the things, you know, it's just so different. And I and it's not like a side-by-side thing, but it feels like that because it's just so different and I barely know him compared to her. So that right now is what's coming up for my relationship with Inner Thrive and family dynamic. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me share.
So much. Yeah.
So, Jazz. Okay, so I don't even know where to start. I'm mad with you because you don't have the relationship with your mom that I would like you to have.
Uh-oh.
I know, right? I'm just like,
okay,
I'm Deborah.
Okay.
I don't know why, but you know, we talk about those things that viscerally come up in us, and I'm just like, that's not fair. Her mom was there for her from retirement from the beginning. You know, like,
thank you for naming it, Deborah. Yes. Thank you for naming it. Yes.
Exactly. I'm just like, oh my God. But yeah, I know it's just on the outside looking in, but like I'm wondering what that means in terms of my own life, right? Like why that means so much to me. But I'm all over the place. I almost feel like I should have gone first because it just would have been like, if you take all my thoughts and throw them up in the air and let them all land, that's what I feel like right now. So from the moment, Fawn, you started talking, and this is not going to make any sense. I feel like everybody was so articulate and focused, and I feel like I'm like the opposite. But what's different is that is okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Not like everybody else. You know, now it's like, I don't even care.
Yes.
So I got to read all the thoughts that like came up, and they're not connected in any way, and it's just, I just want to put them out there. So I first thought about my sister, Belinda, and this is from when you began talking, Fawn. And with my sister, Belinda, it took me to the Gabor Mate book, The Myth of Normal, because I have noticed changes in my sister since we've been reading the book together. Me, my mom, and my sister have a book club that meets every Sunday. And my sister is a workaholic, and she's had a couple of brain surgeries, and you know, my mom and I have tried to talk to her about the stress that's probably impacting the cysts that are forming on her brain, and she's not been getting it. And she starts back to work tomorrow, first day full time, and she's talking about boundaries for work. And I'm like, so I feel like the book that we're reading together, which is my hope, I have to tell you, was a little manipulative. I was like, maybe she can't hear it from me. She can hear it from this author, right? But I feel like it's changing all three of us, me, my mom, and my sister. And so anyway, I'm excited about that. Then I thought about her two friends who have cancer, one of them pancreatic cancer, and the outlook doesn't look good. Because Gabor Mate's book talks about the, you know, like the health and the healing and how the environment and all of that, I feel like it's impacting how my sister is relating to her friends. So I'm just loving this, how everything is expanding, right? And so, and then I thought about my mom's birthday. My mom just had her 85th birthday. I think it's 2 weeks ago now. And I had the great idea of all of my siblings, of us calling her together. Because we always have this thing, like, who called her first, right? Like, I called her at 5 a.m. I called her at 4, right? But this time I was like, hey, let's call it together. That'll be fun and different. She won't, you know, expect it. And it was fantastic. And so everybody couldn't make the call, but there were three of us. And so anyway, it was great. But I felt like that idea came up for me because of who I am today. Like in the past, I never would have even thought like just outside the box, so to speak, right? Like it would have been about me. And so that was really sweet for me that we called her together. And then when I was listening to Amy talk, I thought about yoga because even though I'm not where you are yet, I want to be there. And so I have never had an interest in yoga. And now it's like I'm being drawn to it. And so looking forward to growing that aspect of my being. But overall, the word open came up for me. Like as I was listening to everybody talk, I just kept thinking about how my being is now so open. I feel like I can't get enough of the good stuff, right? It's like life is so amazing. I want it all and I want it now, right? And so, and I was thinking about how when I first started this recovery journey, which started with the trauma and stuff for me, like literally the TV, Netflix was like my babysitter. Like that's all I could do to keep from doing things that weren't healthy for me, so to speak, was like just watch TV and just veg out, right? And now I get turned off when I have to watch TV. It's like I'd rather be listening to a podcast. I'd rather be like reading a book. And I feel like there's so much more to be doing that it's like I don't have time for TV, right? But so that's been pretty cool. And then I want this phrase you said, whole people. But I was like, I'm assuming you mean WHOLE, right? And so I was thinking whole people, hold people, because I was thinking about when we're complete, we have the capacity to be there, right? I know, I was like, oh my God, right? to be there for others in a way that, and I feel like it's kind of moving into our family thing, right? Like, I feel like I have the capacity to hold my family members wherever they are, however they show up. It's all okay because I'm whole, right? And so anyway, that was so beautiful to me. And then Ashley, when you were talking, I kept thinking about, because I'm in a 12-step recovery program, and we have this phrase, attraction rather than promotion. And that's what I thought about when I heard you talking about with your family. It's like, when we're whole, we don't have to convince people of anything. We just get to be, and our being naturally starts to make them question and wonder. And so I was like, that is so beautiful, because I feel like that's what you're doing. And then acceptance, I like the word acceptance. I know you were like pushing it away, but I thought acceptance is a good one, right? What also came up for me listening to you ladies, because I feel like, you know, as a Black woman in this world, I feel like I live in a different world anyway, right? So I feel like there's the me that's normally me, and then the me who I am when I'm around others, right? And then it kind of made me feel sad, because I'm like, why do I have to have two worlds, right? Like, you would think it'd be kind of cool, but it's like, it's hard, especially when you think about the wholeness, right? Like I feel like not the case. I just feel like I have to be one way when I'm out there with others, kind of thing. But I feel like probably what's like, something that I'm working out in myself is that, just because that's the way I feel like I have to be, that doesn't mean that that's the way I have to be. So I can make the decision that, you know what, I'm not going to be, you know, two Deborahs, right? And so anyway, just something for me, something for me to explore, that this world makes me feel like I have to show up differently. And but today that can, you know, that doesn't have to be the way that way. And then the last thing, almost, I heard at least two of you say how much you love being in your bodies. And all I kept thinking was, what a wonderful feeling that must be for someone who struggles with her weight, right? Like, and even Jazz, when you talked about the Diet Coke, like, just don't drink the Diet Coke. And I'm thinking, oh my God, like, if it were that simple for me, I just feel like, and maybe that's why I connect with your mom. Maybe, I don't know, like, maybe it's the struggle, the addiction part. I don't know. Something to reflect on. But anyway, so I just feel like, as a person who struggles with her weight, the positive news is that I have never felt that I didn't want to be in my body, but just that I want my body to be different, if that makes any sense. And so that's huge for me, because, you know, sometimes it's easy to say, I would rather be that other person. I'd rather, oh, look at that. Like, we were talking about bodies earlier. Like, oh, if I could just have a body like that. But for me, it's always been like, I just want to be, like, I wouldn't change anything about me. I just want to be a better me, basically, right? And then with my family, when we were talking about like going home and visiting and how different that is, today, like, I haven't been home in like, I don't know, over 3 years easily. I think it's been about three, because I went home for my mom's heart valve replacement. But I don't have any regrets. Like, even her 85th birthday, and I was thinking, oh, Deborah, at least now you should go home. It's 85. Will she see 86? Who knows, right? But because we have such a beautiful relationship, even just over the phone and talking and all of that, like, I didn't even feel guilty about not having gone home. And so even though this is about relationships and family, this call, I just feel like I'm actually in a really good space with my family. And I feel like my main issue today is going to be around including myself in that family, right? If that makes any sense. Like, yeah. Anyway. And then the last thing, we talked about ex-husbands. And I just want to say another example of how whole I'm becoming is that my ex-husband and I have been talking a lot lately. And mostly around me having the courage to say, hey, there were some things that happened 20 something years ago that I feel like you never acknowledged how much you hurt me and damaged me. And we were able to talk about that. And I'm glad that he was able to give me the space, talk about holding space, right? I feel like he gave me the space to say, let's talk about what you did to me. Now, what's funny is after I finished and I felt, okay, I feel like, you know, really vindicated or whatever. He was like, now, can I tell you what you did to me? And I was like, no, I don't want to hear it. But that was okay because it was really, I feel like he had already like moved on or whatever, right? But I was still holding on. But anyway, I just thought it was funny. It was like, no, I don't want to hear how I hurt you. But yeah. So anyway, I think I'll just end there and just say that, you know, wow. Life is good. And even in the imperfections with family, I just feel like because I'm whole, I can hold that space for them. And so, yeah, we'll see how this all turns out today. Thank you.
Wow.
You have your hands full today, Fawn. With all these
yeah.
things. Ah,
the holding is so cool.
You want to open up the family can of worms.
And like, right? And it's interesting because it's like not even like the family can of worms. It's like, how you ladies in your wholeness are being about it, with it, in it. Right? Like, pro fucking found. Wow. Deborah, I love the whole people hold people. That is TM Deborah. Truly. Like, let's talk about that book.
I am preaching his name from the mountaintops. I'm telling you, everybody I know. You know, God, Mate? And this man has been around forever, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just here. That's because, like, I'm open now, right? Talk about what comes to us when we open up. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I'm going to have, for spring quarter, winter, spring quarter, it'll be the, book club book. So, yeah, Jazz, it's going to be on your and Micah's homework for training. So hang on tight. No. yeah. And Ashley, you haven't started it yet, right? I don't think. It's not you're like Fawn's 108 books for Ashley to read.
Yeah. I'm at like a minute in probably of the I think I might have to buy the hard copy actually.
I was gonna say you want the hard copy because that one you want to like, write in it's super thick, but
yeah.
I'm always writing in the margins.
Yeah, I think I need to order the I'm just gonna go ahead and order the hard copy because I'm just like I think for this one I need the hard copy. So.
Yeah,
it's, we have both. It's like good to have both options.
Mm-hmm. And his YouTube talks too, like just for doses of Gabor. Like, oh, his YouTube, he's like, oh, it's so good.
Did you see his movie? His great movie.
Yes. Oh my god. The documentary.
Yep. Beautiful.
Mm.
What's it called?
Maybe we'll have movie night. Again.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
So good. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll do it. We'll do movie night, like holiday movie night. Popcorn and PJs.
He and his son were just at Omega Institute here in Rhinebeck giving a talk about their relationship and how they healed it. And I asked my daughter.
Called it Hello Again, I think it's called.
I don't remember, but I mean, I wanted to go. I invited my daughter, but she didn't answer. So I guess that was my answer.
Parent-child relationship. Which is related to what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, and it's just the timing. It's so fascinating. Never mind. Different story. Fascinating how the cultural – I'm so happy about it – the cultural – conversation awareness holding in some of these brilliant leaders, these brilliant humans, is all about this. And it's like Jazz, I'm going to have you and Micah read it for bring it, like going through module four and four and five, one of the undercurrents. This book wasn't around when I wrote four and five, but it is amazing how it's like, it's such a great undercurrent. I mean, a lot of his work has influenced me throughout the years, but anyway, it's a really just like, it's great. Speaking of, let me go ahead and read a quote that I actually saved in my screenshots of his book this morning. Okay. So, and Ashley, you need to hop at the hour. Is that right? Okay. We'll do a quick, I'm going to read a quick thing and then we'll do a quick thing. All right. So this is one of the last chapters of the book. So you guys, you ladies know how I have this like semantic thing with, and it's not just semantic. It's actually the etymology of healing and wholing. And when I was in the deep transformational coaching certification last year, there was a lot of like emphasis on healing, and our society is like all about healing. And I don't find that to be what's most available and possible for us. Healing. So most of you know how I feel about that. And it was in class that I blurted out like, it's wholing. And everyone was like, oh my God, yeah, it's whole. And like the guy who wrote the book was like, yeah, anyway. And I was just like, can we just, this is, we're talking about holding here, people. And I know that that is a very different and important distinction. Healing happens within holding. Holding is what we're up to here, Inner Thrive. And so when I read Gabor's book and I came across his orientation around healing, I was like, yes, thank you. So, part five, pathways to wholeness. A change of worldview can change the world viewed. Chapter 25, mind in the lead, the possibility of healing. Having navigated the concentric circles of human health and illness from the cellular to the social, and having traced the inextricable and reciprocal connections between them, we now delve into the good news, the topic of healing. The news may be encouraging, but that's not to say it's easy. How to approach healing after all? How do we approach healing after all in these troubled times? How to move toward health in the context of a socioeconomic system staunchly uninterested in remedying any of its root maladies, and in the face of a pandemic that has both highlighted and deprived us of so much we take for granted? How to keep hope alive when the odds seem so prohibitive? And what is healing anyway? When I speak of healing, I'm referring to nothing more or less than a natural movement toward wholeness. Notice that I do not define it as the end state of being completely whole or enlightened, or any similar psycho-spiritual ideal. It is a direction, not a destination, a line on a map, not a dot. Nor is healing synonymous with self-improvement. Closer to the mark would be to say it is self-retrieval. In fact, our modern self-improvement culture, which has to a large extent been co-opted by the same consumerist forces responsible for the conditions we have been chronicling, can too easily obscure or complicate the healing journey. Y'all hear that? That's fucking... Yes. When we heal, we are engaged in recovering our lost parts of self, not trying to change or better them. As the depth psychologist and wilderness guide Bill Plunkin told me, the core question is not so much looking at what's wrong, but is this person's wholeness not realized in some way? Healing is also distinct from being cured. The latter means the absence of disease. The former implies coming to wholeness. It's possible to be healed but not cured, and it's possible to be cured but not healed. Ideally, healing and curing happen together, but this isn't always the case. Thank you. Come on. I find that to be very, all of that to be very, like, very helpful. So, got 10 minutes until Ashley hops. Ash, is there anything, Is there anything in this moment of your life or this season of your life that has you curious about, like a family dynamic or relationship, has you curious about how it might hold more? Is there any another like question I'll put on the table here? And this is going to be for everyone, but I'm just I'm Ashleying right now. and or is there anything that's like up for you right now around connection or disconnection, like in any way in your life or in your relationships?
No, but when you said, I mean, at this present time, no. I mean, working through some stuff with my husband and all that, but feel good about that. But when you said like the next level, like curious about like what the next level looks like, that does pique my interest because I'm like, well, what does that look like? Because I do feel very good and complete right now with how I have dynamics with a lot of most everybody in my life, I would say, right? Because I've had such growth and now it is more from, yeah, Deborah, acceptance is right, but open too, acceptance and open and kindness. And it's very easy for me to now to be in that place and see people in that way when I'm interacting with them or whatever. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's like, what's next? Is that question does peak up? It's like, what is mm-hmm. next? If there's a next, I don't know. Like, sure there is. There always is.
Okay. I'm going to invite something we talked about today, and you're welcome to talk or not talk about it or explore or not explore it. It just is coming up right now. I promise this wasn't staged. it feels like it sometimes, a lot of times. It's not. We had a conversation. We had an exploration earlier, Ashley and I, on our call. And some realizations occurred. Around, and I'm just going to kind of put it in like, it would fall into the category of relationship and wholing, relationship with business, relationship with clients, relationship with being a business person in Inner Thrive. And if you feel open to sharing anything you saw through our conversation, because that you said like the next level thing. And I feel like today's conversation
is that
I felt like something did open up there around like that.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And yeah. And if, especially with looking at like relationship with my business or relationship with my clients or people who come across my path because of my business, but, and also, the only way to connect with other people is one, the connection with myself, yes, but then to also is to just be myself, right? And to fully like put out, like Deborah, when you were like, I almost smiled, or I probably did, when you said attraction over promotion and just being how you are and the way you're operating and being in the world, I was like, oh fuck, well Fawn and I just talked about this 2 hours ago. And I was like, and that was a direct line. Yes, for my family, cool. Yes, I see that for sure. And I easily see that with like the people around me in my personal life. But like Fawn and I were talking about it like professionally too. Again, attraction over promotion and just being and radiating and whatever. Right. And so that there was a shift for me earlier today and over the last couple of conversations that Fawn and I have had and through some other stuff, I just get to be me. And that's really all that really needs to happen with all of that. And it just opens up a different level of connection with everybody involved that's around me, right? And that permission, but then that like yeah, just it is a connection, right? And you are disconnected when you are not being yourself, when you're not following your own inner wisdom and intuition and letting something else get in the way of that or whatever, which happens, we're human, right? But having that true connection with yourself and your inner wisdom and then just showing up as you are has an impact on how other people see you and your energy that you're putting out, but then also the connection level that you have with them.
Mm.
Yeah. And realizing that I do get to just be me in my business. Personally, that's easier for me in my personal world and has as, but now I get to do it in my business too. And it's not like I haven't been being me in my business, but now it's even on a deeper level that I get to. And trust my own wisdom, gut, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Is there, and this is totally on the spot, which is perfect. Because it's so fresh. You're like, I don't know about that.
Like, do I ever remember our conversation, too?
Yeah, no, it's not that kind of question. It's like when you imagine next level and kind of sit with this for a moment, mm-hmm. does anything come through? Like what the next level of this feels like, looks like, is?
No, it's just more of it's a ripple out effect, right? Of just, and it's like, it's that quote that I come back to a lot of Marianne Williamson's, mm-hmm. of like, let your light shine so others' light can shine too. That's the main essence of it. I'm butchering it. But like, it just comes back to that. Right. And the vision I see is just being me so everybody else can also be them. Like fully, whole, inner thrive, all of that. And then from there, there's like, yes, huge communities and things and all of that, but then where my mind goes. But it's all about the like ripple out effect from just being. Whole and me, which is cool.
Yeah. How's that feeling?
And I'm like, now I need to go write some things down. But yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Living from Micah and I had a powerful conversation about this, like around like kind of quality questions or how we are framing ourselves in our lives. And this distinction between like, how can I put more of myself and my authenticity into my business, into my life, into my versus I wonder what will happen when I'm an inner thrive. Like, wonder what's going to show up from that.
Yeah.
I have there's a feeling of like, ooh, you know, like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, thank you. Awesome.
Sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
Man, there's a lot of symbolism going on there. Cool. Thank you, Amy. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ash, for sharing that. Modeling that in real time as it's like you're connecting with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. I shall set you free.
I have to go, and I'm sorry. I will have to listen to everybody else's and what you guys are doing.
Thank you for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for sharing, Ashley.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you guys for sharing, too.
Bye. Bye. So much love.
So much love.
Okay, so I will... Yeah, I'll offer that into the space here. So all three of you in some capacity shared an aspect of relating that is still like a for you, like a And you also shared that you've had in very visceral, embodied, true experiences of inner thrive and how that's felt in your relationships as well. And I'm going to language this in some terminology that's feeling very, very important to me ever since I started writing module 4 like a year ago. And I probably will start using this more often. Thankfully, like Gabor and Monte's book and things that are out in the culture scape right now are also very supportive of this, so it's cool. So the distinction between connection and disconnection and how we experience, how we individually experience connection and disconnection, how we collectively experience connection and disconnection. Everything comes down to these things in many, most ways, I think. And sometimes just having a little heuristic is helpful, like kind of trying something on from one perspective or another perspective. And also realizing, you know, what is my experience like when I feel connected? What is my experience like when I feel disconnected? And I'm using these very vaguely. I'm not going to define them. That's kind of part of how I do. Sometimes I do define things. You guys know that. But so there's connection, there's disconnection, and the ways that that can be experienced and show up. And there's inner thrive. And module 4, Amy's about to go into, is all about how we get disconnected from inner thrive and the coming home, the wholing into inner thrive. So to put these pieces on the table, connection, disconnection. Let's explore, we'll kind of like hat and like try it on and then like put on the other hat and try it on with the particular thing that you're kind of like, you know, about with your family member or the dynamic or what have you. And we'll kind of, we can go around and see what we might see, what emerges. And before we do that, so on the last call, family dynamics call, Deborah, Micah, and I, this was one of those calls where I like threw the book out the window and like, whatever I was going to do, we're doing something, we're going with what's happening here. so fun. And we were exploring scenarios when family dynamics were like challenging, tenuous, dramatic, traumatic. And then when family dynamics are harmonious and like going great, you know, feeling really connected. And so we were like noticing, we were kind of exampling those and then like, like what's going on under the hood there when these things are playing out? And we came up with like, I cannot find the pages right now, with an amazing list, these like just kind of exemplars of harmonious and versus like disruptive. And we noticed that, wow, there's a really distinct difference between like what shows up in harmonious dynamics and what shows up in disruptive, disharmonious dynamics. So connected, disconnected, right? So I'm just going to like just do a few of these and then we'll get to some exploring. Harmonious, laughter, sweet and gentle, respect, naturally conscious, care, present, honesty in the moment, no one is forcing, natural, loyalty, consideration, accountability, choice, living in the present, interdependence, trusting way of being, warmth, honesty, and there's more. Disruptive, discord, codependence, denial, caretaker, rescuer, martyr, accusation, blame, entitlement, expectations, shoulds, criticism, always wrong, gossip, drama, secrets, secrecy, avoidance, rules, can't, can, manipulation, power dynamics, unpredictability, dismissive, conditional, superiority, negativity. So as I read those out loud, does that like make sense? Resonate? Does anything not kind of check out in your experience? Those descriptors. So it seems to be, and big reveal, it is, seems to be that different aspects of experience emerge when we're connected versus when we're disconnected from ourselves and or from somebody else and or. And so that's helpful to know, right? It's helpful to know, like, some of the things that, like, symptoms of that, if you will. As a way to understand our experience and maybe even identify, like, oh, I don't think this is super healthy right now. Like, I'm finding myself, you know, feeling these things or noticing these things showing up, et cetera. And so we know when we feel connected and when we feel disconnected. And for on like a survival level, which may not always be accurate, right? But what I'm kind of pointing to even more so is this like energetic connection with thrive mode, inner thrive, that part of us that has intuitively like or So we'll go around kick the ball around a little bit here with the particular thing and kind of see what it looks like from disconnection and then see what it looks like, might look like from connection. And again, connection can, whatever that means to you in the moment that you're like simulating it, trying it on, I'll probably like nudge a little bit or prompt, but does that make sense? Awesome. Cool. I also want to name, and I'm having a realization of this all the time, that conceptual and inner knowing are different. vibes, like they're different like information systems. So I'll be inviting a like conceptually, like, what does it look like with this hat? What does it look like from that hat? Sure, if that's coming up, great. And then like, we're going to see like if we can drop into a knowing of like what's in there on a deeper level. Okay. Does anybody want to volunteer their like, but why God? Or what do I do here?
All right. So yeah, thinking about my sisters and my family and this estrangement, I was thinking that it's so interesting that the connection in this whole, the big happy lemon family that was also a whole lot of projection that, I mean, was just also like a whole lot of what we projected into the world and was very different than what was going on under. Not that there wasn't joy and there wasn't, you know, creativity and all the things that there were in my very intellectual, artistic, alcoholic family. So there's a lot going on there. But I'm just feeling into really this younger part of myself of feeling always disconnected. So, and always reaching for a connection and not, you know, very rarely finding it because it was so ephemeral and it would always slip away and it would stay if I put on a mask that was liked, right? Us codependents, you know that. So if you put a mask on that, okay, well, they'll respond to me or I'll provide for them what they need, then I'll get the love back. And but all along, is there a real connection going on there? No, it's sort of transactional. It's a transaction in a, I'll give you this and then I won't feel so alone, or I'll have your respect, or I'll have your love, or, you know, I'll win best kid of the dinner table award tonight. You know, there's five of us and it was very competitive. You know, who was the greatest today? Oh, I was for sure. And that wasn't the question, but it was the zeitgeist, right? I mean, you didn't say, well, I crapped my pants accidentally, you know. No, you would just tell the great stuff, which is what is antithetical to wholeness, because when we're talking about wholeness, we're talking about an integration of all that is human in us without rejecting anything as bad or not okay or, you know, when we come to wholeness. And I loved what you were talking about, wholeness and healing, because a healing superimposes like a scabbing over and a disappearance of the disease. Whereas to me, wholing and what I'm learning in my life right now is to bring in all the imperfections and all the things that don't work and all the things that are difficult and be able to hold all those. And that's why I think that image, that alchemical image came to me of the world soul that I put in that thing, which is a very ancient from like the 1500s. That image of the world soul is a mother, interestingly, right? And, you know, I was thinking about body image and all that and how marvelous her body image is in this picture. You know, she's holding the world. She's the world. She's the world of nature, right? That who, you know, is part of, she's human, but she's also part of, did I lose everyone?
No, I can hear you.
I just lost myself.
Oh, good. You lost yourself. We've achieved the, no.
So you know how you do that and you're just like, where did it go? Okay. So that's the perspective for me is a disconnect is really the way I'm perceiving it. If I'm perceiving, oh, I'm not being seen, heard, I better, you know, whip up a certain persona that will get me what I want, or I'll do this great deed for them, or I'll provide a need from them, emotional need, psychological need, some sort of need, and then I won't feel so alone. But of course I'm feeling alone because I'm not being myself ever. So I can't be whole if I'm not wholly myself. And so it's a very, it's a fool's gold in a way. Interesting that alchemy now, the gold is back in. But, and thinking of the idea of, I don't know if this is making sense to any of you, you know, when I talk about alchemy, that there's a psychological, there's a process towards wholeness, right? It's a very distinct process. And that process, when I can allow for that in my own life, right? Which is what you're asking right now. You know, when I allow that I'm in a process, an alchemical process in my life towards wholeness, then these disconnected, disconcerting elements are part of my journey to the wholeness. So rather than reject them, like I want to do, I want to reject them, and I've been rejecting them, and my sisters and those bitches, you know, telling my friends, and, you know, how could they? I've been such a good, you know, it's the oldest sister, and I took so much care of them, and in always was there for them. And then I get needy, and they're like, ah, fuck off. You know, they didn't say that. That's my projection. That maybe they're having a totally different experience. Maybe they don't have a capacity. Maybe I'm scaring them. That I'm the older sister and my beautiful facade of a life that I had constructed fell apart. And they're like, oh, we can't look at that. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Or they're, you know, I'm not who they thought I was because I wasn't. I was pretending. I was this other thing, you know? So the connection then is really like accepting the wholeness of me, the wholeness of them, the imperfect imperfections, the wholeness of their disconnected unwholeness on their way to wholeness. So it's a really, I don't know, I just think it's a, the connection is if I can get into my own wholeness, and I love that little image that came, you know, the world soul, they call that image. And that there, if I can get into the world soul, then I'm big enough to hold everything, right? If my soul can expand enough to be the world soul, which I know is we all have a capacity for, and I have moments of that. They're numinous moments, right? When you're like, and everybody's beautiful and wonderful, and you can hold even the terrible things. You go, wow, this is a really weird universe, and this is a really weird world, but somewhere, somehow it's whole, and we're going towards wholeness. That's my take on these things. That, yeah, I don't, it feels so contracting. You say, how does it feel like embodied? Like you contract when I feel all those icky feelings and those hurt feelings from my sisters. And why did they say those mean things? And why couldn't they just be there for me? And, you know, run my, like, my story.
Yeah.
What if his story is so much bigger than I can see, which it always is? If I could see as God sees the whole story, if I was the world soul, I would see everyone's trying and everyone's doing their best and everyone's trying to get through and everyone's terrified and scared and wants to be loved. And, you know, we just all need to get in that world soul with that weird image with the earth with breasts and a suckling babe, you know, but, and the, all the nature all around. It's like, okay. And there we can find that space. I know we can. I know I can. Just talking about it now, I find that space. And I love my sisters, and they're doing their best. And they, some projection on me or me on them is just a misunderstanding in the beauty of the deep love we have for each other that I know is there because it's there. And also with my ex-husband and my difficult daughter. And, you know, it's just like the love is, I think that Jazz, my daughter, feels the same way about me as you feel about your mom. She loves me so much. And man, I just get on her last nerve. So It's so funny to hear that. I'm like, okay, I'm that mom. I was not an alcoholic. I mean, I'm an alcoholic, but they never knew me drinking. So I was a sober mom. Thank God they had one sober parent. But yeah, I felt that. And I felt your comment too, Deb. It's like, well, be nice to your mom. Nice to your mom. She's trying the best she could, you know, with what she had and the mess she grew up with. You know, put on a happy face. You know, that was my mom. Just like, why are you so sad? Be happy. Okay. You know, it's like that hilarious movie, Ballroom Dancing, Strictly Ballroom. Did you all ever see that? Holy shit, that's a great movie. Yeah. It, you know, it's just always like putting on the happy face. Anyway, that's, I hope I made sense in what I was trying to feel into there. It is a choice. That's really it. And really, if I back up, and to me, images help so much. So it's like, if I can be that world, soul, divine mother that nurtures, and this part of nature, and that all these things are part of nature, this distress with my sisters, this estrangement, this whatever is going on is like, okay. You know, I'm powerless over that. So I'm going to accept it for what it is and understand there's something greater knowledge than myself. I call God sometimes, or source. He's got it all handled. And I just need to show up with my open hearted love and stand steady in that, and feel so much better than that constricted, and also with an understanding, like, you know, you don't get along with everybody. My daughter and I were like oil and water, and you know, someone does our charts and they're like, oh my God, you are like, you know, Iran in the USA. You like really like, you are gonna have a hard time. So accepting that was actually nice to accept. I'm like, okay, and she's marvelous, and I'm in love with her, and I love her, and she's incredible, and she does me. But then we have these little things that just don't. Then now I can laugh about it. And sometimes she and I can laugh at it really hard. Like, oh, there we go again.
Jess, are you okay if I go next?
I can kind of hear you guys. I think my internet is cutting out. So, Deb, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask if you were okay with me going next. Because I want to hop in on a couple of things. First of all, I totally relate to the mom-daughter thing, which quite frankly, I feel like it's a rite of passage. And so my mom and I mean, it's like the relationship we have today is the opposite of what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And guess who changed? Not my mom, right? And so it gets better. I guess I want to give you ladies hope. And I think it's because with age and maturity, you know, I don't know, it's just something like, I feel like I really judged my mom a lot, but now that I'm older and I realize how hard life really is, I have so much respect for her now. And so, hang in there, ladies, on both sides of the fence. So I love the self-retrieval part that you read, Fawn, from Gabor's book. I haven't gotten to that point yet. And when I think about it in the context of connection versus disconnection, I feel like the journey I'm on today feels more like a retrieval of things that I naturally would have loved, but maybe I didn't have exposure to growing up. Like, nobody talked about yoga in my neighborhood, right? Like, what's the other thing that I'm like, really? Oh, the act, you know what, when you talked about acting, Amy, two things came to my mind, which may sound kind of weird, but just love me anyway, right? One was, I thought about how, in your family, you talked about how everybody was putting on the mask, basically, right? And then I was like, in your career, you act, right? So I was like, what a natural flow. But anyway, but it's a better acting today, right? But yeah, so I just feel like with the connection piece, it is that retrieving, and I think you wrote, you said the lost parts of ourselves. For me, like, I remember, this is totally, well, it's not unrelated, but like, I remember when I would watch ice skating on TV, and I used to feel like, oh my God, like, I would love to. And I feel like in a certain environment, my parents would have been like, oh, well, let you do lessons and maybe you'll be really good at it. And so those things just didn't exist for me. And so I think as an adult now on this healing journey, it feels like that the things that I'm naturally drawn to, it's no longer a dream that I can just say, oh, that interests me. Let me check it out. And maybe I don't like it, but at least I can check it out and see. And so that's kind of what's coming up for me with the connection versus disconnection. And then when I think about it in the context of like family, to me, it still goes back to me for some reason. Maybe I'm just selfish and self-centered or whatever, right? I feel like it all lands with us because, I don't know, like it's back to that, who we are when we show up impacts what we see. And I think it was something in your reading about that, right? Like when your worldview changes or something you were saying, then your view changes or something. It was beautiful the way he said it. But that's kind of what I feel like is happening here. And then I thought about, what did you say? You said something about, maybe it was the next level piece about like when you're looking at the next level, kind of what do you see or experience? I thought about, in my Bible study, the chapter was, okay, so the doctrine that we're studying right now is the doctrine of grace. And in it, it was talking about how, and you can call God whatever you want to call God, right? But it was talking about how compassionate God is, right? Like he's infinitely compassionate. And I feel like because of that, like I can trust, like, we can trust in the flow. You can trust in the universe. You can trust that things will be okay. And I felt like that trust was complete. That compassion was complete, right? But in the reading, another example came up in my life. And I realized, oh my God, like I just opened up a whole new level of trust and compassion. And it was like, but I already thought it was complete, right? And so I know I'm not giving a specific enough example, but I think you get my point. Like, even when you feel like you're whole, until you actually experience that other level, you'd be like, oh my God, I didn't know, like you think you've already arrived kind of thing, right? And so that was pretty cool. And I thought about that in the context of this. It's like, I feel like my relationship with my mom is great. Like so much has gotten better. My sister, family, all of that. But I don't even know what I don't know, right? And so that's kind of what's coming up for me. And then one last thing, I thought about Bessel van der Kolk. His book is The Body Keeps the Score, and it's been like out forever, right? He talks about in his last chapter, which I never saw this before, and I'm so big on this yoga thing, so I'm just loving this, Amy, right? But in the back of his book, he talks about these things that you can do to like connect better with your body, and yoga was one of them. And I'm thinking, I've been reading that book, and it's part of my research, right? And I was like, but you know, you read the sections that you need to read, right? And I was like, how did I never see this, right? And so I don't know, it's like once you see something, then you start to see it everywhere kind of thing. And so that's just been pretty cool that on this journey, I'm seeing things that before never caught my attention. And now it's like, I can't imagine my life without it kind of thing. So, and then Fawn, for you, I want to say, you kind of in a passing sort of way mentioned about, you know, and I'm on this addiction thing, right? You were like, when you're in this wholeness, all of that stuff like addiction and everything kind of slips away. And I just wanted to say that when I think about the next level, I can't wait. Because that would be a wonderful space to be, where the things that challenge us in life no longer become challenges. And so I feel like all of that is part of my next level looking up kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Another way to put what we're talking about here or exploring here is shifts in consciousness, honestly, like literally though, like shifts in consciousness. And Wayne Dyer's quote, similar to the one I read, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change.
Yes.
That's another one of them, but it's not like, let me change the way I look at this. I mean, that can be helpful, right? So like the more developmental level of coaching or therapy where it's like, let's work with the cognitive restructuring and blah, 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 right? That can be helpful and a lot does change, but the wholing level, the inner thrive level, to your point, Deborah, and I want to get to Jazz in a second. You know, you've probably heard me say a lot, like continuous emergence. I'm like, oh, I'm like, it feels like continuous emergence. I'm like, whoa, like that's available. Like,
you're fine, right? Like, it's like, oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
It's like experientially infinite. Thank you, universe. I had my goddess circle. I have a circle of women that I've met with for 2 years, and I had this whole thing go on last night with some processing. So I was like so raw coming into this call this morning. And one of the brilliant women, Lisa. I'm going to have to find the quote. I wrote it down somewhere. When we stop searching for answers, there's no limit to what we can see. Something like that. I'll have to find what, but I was like, dude, like, whoa, it's limitless.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. Yeah. So much in what you just shared. I can't wait to re-listen to this recording. All of you. All right, Jazz. And I know we are at time as per usual. I'm here to keep going, Jasmine, if you would like to, and Amy and of course Deborah. But also if anyone needs to hop off, I completely, of course, understand.
No, I'm okay for a couple minutes here. I just appreciate you all. I'm feeling really grateful right now. I think it's like the silence for me, like where I touch it most clearly, the connection. It's like where the dust can settle and I really am clear on like my thinking creating my experience. And when I am like really connected, I'm not thinking. Like I'm just being. And I know what that feels like. Like I even know it. And I love you guys for like being mama bears also. You know, because that thorn in my side is in every minute of every experience with her. Like, the best moments are when I'm just sitting. Like, when we're just sharing space. When there's not something happening that I then allow thinking to come into play. And I just notice my ability to be a little bit easier, even though it's always on tap. I just notice it, or I don't notice it as easily always in that situation. So it feels more disconnected because I have something really beautiful to compare it to that I didn't know before. I don't even know when that happened, right? But through this experience. And so it's just so like simple that there's just so few words for me to articulate it, but I know that it's most obviously observed when I'm quiet, like actually, not just like in my mind, like in my body and my mind when I'm like quiet. And that, what did I write down? Like connection is the settling to feel into like the okayness, like into the true understanding of not just my okayness, because that's my ego. I'm okay. I'm not okay. You're okay. You're not okay. Whatever. But like the, like that visual you sent, like the okayness of all that is. And like that grace, that infinite grace is the okayness. And that silence can happen even in the moments of life like that are not silent. Like they can happen while in a conversation with another human being, as words are verbally being said out loud, that okayness and silence can like be the guide. Thanks, Deb. And so that's like the connection. That's a really like helpful, I was helpfully reminded of that feeling during this call. And so I'm really grateful for that. And then just that the disconnection is just like, Lord, do I know it's a story, you know, it's one that I feel like, you ever seen Harry Potter where they throw it into the fire, the letters, and they come back out, like the mail, you know, where it's like he gets invited to go to Hogwarts, and his human aunt and uncle are like, you're not a wizard, we're going to deny what you are, and they like throw the letters into the fire, and the fire just spits them right back out. I feel like it's this story that like I know all the things you're saying, I love my mama, you know, I mean I lived it with her, like I know it and like appreciate it, and like I want that story to burn forever in a way. And it just seems like for some reason that disconnection within that story arises. And it's annoying. It's annoying because I want to feel that connection like always. But I guess also like the awareness of the natural experience is also like connection. There's a version of real connection in that happening too, and the awareness around it. I'm not quite sure about that last part, but that's how it came out. I almost wanted to say, like, I want to be better, but, like, that's not quite right either. Yeah. Complete for now.
Thank you. Good old Shakespeare. There's no true right or wrong or good or bad. It's only thinking that makes it so.
The bard.
Knew it all. The bard.
Knew it all.
God. Thank you, Jasmine. That was really
thank you, Jasmine. Really thank you, deep. Deborah. Thank you, Fawn. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Jazz, earlier when you were sharing the outset, so amazing, like you see it all. It's so cool. This question came, like, was like, I wonder if there's like rules on what inner thrive includes or doesn't include. And I wonder if those rules, if there are, I wonder if those rules are, I can't be annoyed with my mom. That's not inner thriving. And then like, I wonder if, what if that it is part of inner thrive? like ostensibly it's like,
yeah,
you know, presenting as annoyance, you know, right? And I have no horse in this race at all, but it occurred to me, and so what you had just shared, there's connection in the awareness of how things, like how things are actually playing out, naturally playing out.
Yeah,
connection in the awareness. You can't hear me?
No, I like I hear you.
Oh, you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah. Like my Wi-Fi's been wonky. Connection in the awareness, right? Like, oh, I'm aware of myself at her right now, right? Or about her, whatever the story is that I'm projecting, or what, you know.
And I can't help but feel like there's some other story underneath, or I don't know, like something beautiful is going to come out of this or something. Like, I don't know, like what's behind it all, or I don't know. I feel like this is not the end of the story, right?
No, how could it be? No.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But I do appreciate the question, and I've played with that, and I think it's like a fun maybe thread to pick back up. Because there are, as in, like, through navigating it, there have been components where the annoyance is translated into just non-negotiables, of which I used to tolerate and have to manage, and then don't anymore.
Right.
And then there's other components where, like, the feeling isn't. You know, desirable, but there's no right or wrong there either. But it's just, there's definitely a difference. So I appreciate that. To maybe pick that back up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some therapeutic models would be like, let's look at what's the story.
Oh, sure.
Let's create stories about
the story.
And
I told you, I dropped my last therapist because she made me list my like top 10 best and worst. And then she told me there was something worse or something underneath or whatever else I was like messed up from. And I was like,
projection.
You got it all wrong.
Stories, Lord, can be helpful because stories are metaphors. All thoughts, all concepts are metaphor. And metaphor can access a level of integration and healing that concept can't. But I only say that, and I know you, Jazzy, not, but I say that to also, like, what else is possible is that perhaps you just don't like certain behaviors in the moment and they annoy you. And when the awareness is there, you're aware of it and you don't like feeling annoyed, but you're feeling annoyed and the awareness is there and that's what's happening. And let's allow for that, the soul of the world, let's allow for the universal wisdom through that open portal of awareness to do whatever it does or doesn't do, right? And like insights or no insights, but usually I can't think of a time when awareness has halted or reversed the inner strive progression. just saying. Yeah. And just one more thing, just quickly. What else did I? Something else. Let me just see if I can find it quickly. That's the question I have about that. Okay.
I feel like I just broke a therapeutic rule or something. With the whole story thing, so sorry if I did.
Wait, what do you mean?
You know, like just saying, I feel like there's something behind that or what's coming up.
And probably there is, right? I mean, there oftentimes is. When we look with curiosity versus searching for attribution and explanation and causality, like that line of thinking yields typically like different, you know, like, fuck yeah, did I uncover a story about what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah, like makes a lot of sense that there's a lot under what's going on, you know? And present moment. All right, my story's running.
being a Jungian that I am, Carl Jung, every story, everything is a metaphor. That is, everything is an image. So if that's your story, there's things to be gleaned in the story. But if you look at it like a myth, right? Like your story is a myth, and then her dad lived two blocks down, and then so what? If you look at it like a metaphor, a fairy tale, it gives you, first of all, it's clearly a story, but it also gives you great, you know, beautiful insight, and it's there to serve you. All of our stories are, I mean, we have human stories. Where in the world did you ever meet a daughter who was not annoyed with her mother? That's the template.
Exactly.
That's it. That's the fairy tale we're living in. And it's there for a reason, of course, right? To overcome it. And then we're mothers, and wait till your kid thinks you're an asshole and says, you know, I hate you, you're so stupid. And then, you know, okay, there it is. That's the template we live under. But I'm just, that's where I think about things is sort of metaphorically, even things that happen in my life, I think about it. Because then you get behind the reality of the story and like, oh, this is a metaphor. This is showing up as a learning moment, and it's real, but it's spiritually real. It's a spiritual reality. That's what I want to say. It's all, we're in a spiritual reality. That's why I love, you know, the great teachers. Jesus, amazing. He always said this is a spiritual reality that we're living in. These lessons are spiritual lessons, all of them. Well, you're the king. No, I'm not the king.
Not right.
I'm the king. That's the story.
Not the king you were looking for.
Yeah, not that king. But
Amy, you're going to love Ishmael.
Am I? Oh, good. Oh, good. I can't wait. I'm just putting I'll put it on my Kindle to read on the plane.
Okay. The audiobook's really fun, too.
Oh, okay. I'll do the audiobook then. Okay.
Yeah, it's captivating.
Anyway.
Jazz, the other thing, and we'll wrap with this. Maybe this is actually the closer. A question that arose in me as you were describing, and I'm saying this from a place of really relating with what you're sharing also, by the way, Jazz. like more than words could ever say. Part of what prompted like me sitting with my mom in Idaho, right? It was like, hey, let's have a family call. LFE. Like these questions are like, why are you like this? Or like, what the, who does that? Or like, you know, have I asked those questions in the space of connection, in a space of, in my vessel, in my temple, what you were just describing, Jazz, like when you're quiet and you know that space of connection, right? We all know that the quality of the container or the vessel that is happening in the moment, the quality of this impacts everything in here and everything with blue, right? And being in an open heart space, and then taking the questions and like, why are you so annoyed with her? Or like, you know, and we can talk about quality questions more on some, you know, we'll probably be talking about that a lot in coach training, but like, you know, why am I so annoyed with her is a great starter question. And then it, especially if there's a journal on hand, like other questions start to bubble up. Like what bugs me so much? So being in that, in like that space and in curiosity about something that's triggering, in my experience, can yield a lot of insight, just different seeing. I also happen to have a list of questions I'll send over to you that are like about like, what is it about this other person that drives me nuts?
You know? You mean like my Byron Katie Judge Your Neighbor worksheet that I'm working on?
I was also going to offer to facilitate some work. Yep. Yeah, I am pissed at mom because mom doesn't do the. Oh, man,
you know what's funny
right?
is because the answer to that first question is so starkly obviously no. I never ask those questions in that space. That's like hands down instinctual. Like, doesn't even arise. It's like just a big smile looking into the room as she's like playing Guess Who for the 40th time in a row. And like, oh my God, I love you. Thank you. You know, as I'm like throwing Diet Coke can in the garbage and like cleaning up, right? There's no question like the ones that arise when I'm feeling, you know, clearly disconnected. It's a totally different container. It's such a good descriptor. The scaffolding is totally different.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Which is probably why I feel I'm feeling so annoyed, because I can so clearly recognize it. Yeah. And so I want to be like, okay, well, it's like part of the experience. That's the times when I give myself grace and I like just go upstairs and I just go do work, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Other times I'm like, oh, I'd love to just have continued to share space with her. And I didn't because I got annoyed, you know? But thank you. Yeah, it's definitely different. That's a very easy answer for me.
Awesome. Yeah, we have this, you know this, but this is a different way of relating with it. We have a deep infinite well of intelligence, inner wisdom, like answers, if we want to call them that. Really though, but we can't access that when we're in the mode very, very clearly, very often, right? So, I mean, being in an open heart space is the lubrication for the realization and also for the transformation. Hence, module 4. Hence, all the stuff, right?
But like how it's showing up, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and where, what space am I in when I'm? This happened to me literally yesterday, Jazz. Like, fucking avalanche the whole thing where like I was asking with my journal, asking questions in an open heart space that I've asked before from a different space that I came up with completely different conclusions and answers from the like rare space, from an open heart space. Holy fuck, did I come to some understanding. It's not the first time.
I was just thinking, about our neural pathways and that, you know, there's the concept that we have, okay, mother, and it lights up all these neural pathways in our brain, you know, now that's mother. And where are all those coming from? Those are coming from all these experiences that we had, but they're stagnant. They're stuck. There's no room then for the mother that's in front of us and the person that we are and the person that she is. But we go to that default pathway or what, you know, psychologists call a complex. It's just a series of emotions and experiences that are framed together in a little, literally along narrow pathways. And I do think that we, sometimes that helps me. I'm like, oh, it's just like thinking. I mean, it's literally like a mechanical thing that's happening. So when you can bring that energy into your heart, the heart thinks differently. Yes. It just thinks differently. And so, okay. There's room there for a whole nother experience that is not stuck in that old thing. And then when we have that experience, it makes a new neural pathway. It goes, oh, that's why I think how we can change and come to a different place, you know, in ourselves. We're making, I don't know why I'm fascinated with brain science, but we're actually literally making new little. That's great, which is why we want to not be psychological furniture.
You create just
the drive
enough
garden.
Space.
Yeah, what's that?
Just thing? Enough. The awareness creates just enough space to have a different thought, which creates a totally new experience.
And I thought about earlier, what's coming to me is that grace on top of grace, infinite grace, right? And you gave an example of that with thinking about where your sisters were coming from for a change, right? Like they may not have had the same experience you had, right? Like all those things that was the grace given the space for something different.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Deborah.
Yeah. Yeah. The awareness allows for the consciousness to shift. Mm-hmm. It creates the space for the consciousness to shift. Consciousness and rapid fire thinking, habituated thinking, different party. And yeah, I mean, thinking about it through like a lens of like salience, like when my saliency lens is my old relationship with my mom and like I'm with her from that, and it totally happens, of course, you know, I'm just like, Jesus, fuck, come on, woman, like you are a neurotic nutbag. Do you not see this, you know, like how did I survive? You know,
barely, not like
I'm seeing her, but the saliency, what's important to me in that moment is like, it's that tape that's in there, that set of lenses. But when we're having popcorn and we're watching Grace and Frankie and we're just like shooting the shit and laughing, like she's doing the same thing sometimes and it doesn't even occur to me. Like I don't even notice, right? I'm just like, oh, mom, you're such a weirdo.
Yeah. Those are my words. So your mom like loves Grace and Frankie because that's too weird because my mom's obsessed with Grace and Frankie.
It's our show. It's the only show I watch, and I only watch it with my mom.
So ridiculous. I feel like you're just, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, cool. We're going to be, 2023 is going to be the year of the big consciousness playground for all of us. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's LFPs about to, I mean, not that we haven't already been like tapping in, but. Yeah.
Exciting. I have to go to the bathroom now. I have to pee.
I gotta go to bed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A good call. Thank you, everyone. Love you guys. Thank you.
Beautiful winter.
See you guys, ladies, soon. Ciao.